two words for you.
Gavin Evans and Marcus Frank.
Must-see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words.
Welcome to Courtside. I'm your host, Marcus Frank, here with my co-host,
Gavin Evans, and this is 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Great end to the NBA season last night.
It's crazy. I mean, Gavin, you turned me off.
It's crazy that the season's already over. I really can't believe it. I mean, those 82 games sure went fast. And the play-in begins Tuesday. And Gavin, do you know when awards come out?
I feel like they're normally in like the second round, I want to say.
So that's exciting. Just today, we're gonna do some quick top of the show stuff, some fun news, and then go on to award predictions and play-in predictions if we have time. So, breaking news as of last night. Hall of Fame coach, we were giving his flowers last week. Doc Rivers got fired. Or no, what was it?
Well, I think they're parting ways.
He won't
ways,
be returning. Yeah.
So he got fired.
Yeah, basically. But I saw that he'll still be with the team, which I don't really understand that.
In
a smaller role with the
team.
So
it's the same face.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fired. Who's the head coach now then? I know they have a... Former Lakers head coach Darvin Ham is on the staff, but I mean, who's the UNC just hired probably the top guy on the market, Mike Malone.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
There was
a lot of talk.
He was gonna go to the Magic after the season. A lot of talk they're gonna fire their head coach, and UNC poached him for college. So
I think
it's a big
I see
shake
that
up
for
in
him.
The
job
market.
I feel like college basketball. Like, obviously with NIL money, there's some drama, but I feel like much less drama than NBA basketball. In terms of, like, the politics.
I mean...
And, like, roster construction. Like, I know he was having beef because they weren't giving him a contending roster. They were just drafting guys late. They didn't want to pay guys.
I feel like the NBA is less forgiving to head coaches.
Yeah.
College, you can kind of... You have a bad year, you flare out. You know, I mean, this year they flared out in the first round, UNC, and they had a potential, probably like top four, top five pick, Caleb Wilson, although he's been injured. You can kind of get away with more in college. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Mike Malone, he was fired by the Nuggets a few years ago, right? Like,
yeah, last year.
Like a year or
right
two
before
removed from
the
winning
playoffs
a championship.
Also.
And yeah, right before the playoffs.
I still can't believe they did that.
Yeah, I mean, it was
I
absurd.
Mean, their current coach, like, obviously the team's good, but they fired Mike Malone, and then they created a roster, which was the exact roster he was asking for. I don't know. I find that crazy, but good for Mike Malone. Also, big news, Gavin. I don't know if you saw this. Brandon Pozimski, he dropped 30 points.
Yes. As we've
which
been
is really
for
big
so
news
long.
If you're not, like, online and tapped in.
Which is...
Most
hopefully
people
most
out there,
you,
most
yeah.
most of our listeners, hopefully. There is a guy on Twitter who said, like, 2-something years ago, I won't tweet until B-Pods scores 30. 2 years later, he scored 30. He tweeted, I'm back. And he got
crazy a quarter
viral.
Of a million likes or something like that.
Shout out to Curry's Not a Fraud. How
I
many likes?
Curry
it got like 300,000 likes, which is crazy. Oh, Curry's a fraud, yeah. They're missing Also, big news: Cade Cunningham returned.
Yeah, he is officially back. Although I think he is ineligible for postseason awards due to games played. Right.
Yes.
I mean, there's that whole special exemption thing, but like he's probably.
I don't think they're gonna get it.
Because
and Luka.
The point of the rule was to stop people from sitting with injury, so.
I'm sure there'll be some changes to it in the offseason just because of Luka and Cade. Maybe they'll add like a minutes thing, like either 65 or like 2,300 minutes or something.
If you look at the minutes played, Wemby, who just barely made the 65 game minimum, has played something like, I want to say it's like 1,800 minutes this season. And you look at guys who are nowhere near eligible with their games played, like LeBron, have played nearly double that in terms of minutes. And, like, there should be a harsher minutes restriction.
Because
it's like you have to play minimum, like, 15 or 20 minutes in all of these games, like, each 65. It's really low. And Wemby averages, like, 25 minutes a night or, like, 30. Like, he doesn't play a lot.
Just under 30.
Yeah, so... Something is probably going to end up getting changed. I think we're going to see a lot of rule changes this offseason, just in general. We're confirmed going to get some like anti-tanking legislation going on.
Yeah, and the expansion vote.
Expansion
vote.
So
it'll be a really big offseason.
Yeah, this is going to be a big one. And it's you know what it's also been a big offseason for is the WNBA.
The WNBA.
There's been a ton of
Gavin here at Courtside. Gavin and I love WNBA hoops. I've been to a couple of Liberty games.
I unfortunately have not, but there's been a ton of news with the WNBA this past week, actually. A lot of free agent signings. I think, what's her name? Kelsey Plum just signed like $1 million deal.
$999.
Yeah, $1 under, so she ducks
She
the
didn't
tax,
want, yeah, the millionaire tax from LA, of course. I think it was actually to get a good roster, but I don't really... know if they're a contending roster.
I don't know.
I'm not a WNBA savant, but
no. But I know we talked last show about how Angel Reese was traded to the Atlanta Sky, right? The Sky,
the Atlanta Dream.
Dream. It's the Chicago Sky.
She was on the Chicago Sky.
Traded to the Atlanta Dream, and we said she'd be joining all-time WNBA dunk leader Brittany Griner there. But I believe she actually signed somewhere else.
Yeah, the Connecticut Sun.
Who are relocated to Houston,
Is her hometown. So
yeah,
I see. I'm surprised. I know the Sun, they're a really like good team, so I don't know why they would get moved maybe just
to
a bigger market.
They have new ownership. But, okay, here's the thing. There is no Boston team, so they were the New England WNBA team.
Yeah.
So you have a capture on the entire New England market, which is, I mean, one of the biggest ones in sports, right? You look at the Patriots, the Celtics, the Bruins. Like, that is a huge sports market. So, really interesting decision. The WNBA is also getting an expansion sometime soon.
Yeah,
they've confirmed a three-team
like
expansion.
Oh.
I know Philly is getting a team in the next couple years. There's two other cities I don't know off the top of my head that are getting expansions. So, lots of news and movement going on there.
Yeah. Also, the Liberty signed Sato Sabali. She's a pretty good power forward. I was looking at her. And they re-signed Jonquel Jones, who was their finals MVP like 2 years ago when they won. So should be a great WNBA season.
Yeah, I think I had her on my fantasy team a few years ago when I did WNBA fantasy. Great player. Do we want to get into awards
now? One other quick thing. Everyone knows our avid listeners know I'm a really big Clippers fan, and the Clippers had like a 15 season streak of winning seasons, and they fell down 6-21, but we locked in and we got a 42-40 record. Consecutive winning seasons record is continued. That's all I have to say. Kawhi Leonard MVP.
That's not happening. I don't think he's even top five in voting.
I got him top five.
Is he eligible in games?
Yeah, 65 games also. Everyone was ragging on Kawhi. What, Stephen A. Smith called him the worst superstar ever after the tree scandal. But also, it's looking like he's vindicated for the trees.
Which we
also
have not had a resolution to, by the way. I don't know if we're gonna get that in the off season.
It's looking like he's good on the trees. That's all.
It would be nice to have a definitive response from the league and Adam Silver, but I think that's not happening anytime soon.
No.
Probably.
Innocent
till proven guilty, too.
Yeah, exactly. Shall we get into award predictions?
Yeah, I guess so. Do we just want to start with the big one? The MVP race? So this is a really interesting race this year. As we've said like 8 times already today, there is the 65-game minimum. So notably, Cade Cunningham and Luka Doncic are ineligible. At least Luka is applying for an exception. I think he had to miss a game or two for the birth of his daughter.
Yeah, he's not getting that.
Well,
he's not getting
I don't think he even has custody anymore, too. So, like, kind of crazy to apply for the exception now for that. But, Cade with the collapsed lung probably won't get it as well. So those are probably the two most notable. Everyone else just barely scraped by. Jokic, Wemby, all those guys just barely scraped by. Shai, I think, made it by a little bit.
Yeah, Shai had like 68 games. Jokic had 65 exactly. And Wemby had, it says 64. But the NBA Cup
finals. NBA Cup does count, which I think is a little bit like contradictory that it counts for the games played, but the stats don't go anywhere in the record book. Like, if you're going to count it as a game played, you should count the stats in the record books, I think. And it's like, it's one game's worth of stats, so it's really not a big deal, but it's just like,
I guess
a
it
little
could
bit
be
like
a big deal to someone somewhere.
Exactly.
At
right?
some, like, if let's say Wemby's like 3 more threes than the second guy, then it, well, if he didn't play that NBA Cup Finals game, I would have gotten,
or if I'm like some
3-point leader or something like
if
that.
If I'm some guy that went undrafted out of like Boise State and I managed to make the league and have some sort of numbers in the NBA Cup Final, like,
yeah, Tyler Kolek.
Exactly, right? I'd want those numbers in the record books just for like myself. So, like, you know, I think they should be counted, but it's really is a minor thing. But that is how he made the 65-game limit with only 64 games.
Gavin, who do you have winning MVP? We had some pretty out there takes to beginning, Luka. I thought Giannis, and that is very wrong. He played like 30 games.
Yeah, 30, 36. He played nothing. I think, personally, if his name was literally, if his name was like, you know, Joe Schmo, and he wasn't like already a 3-time MVP, Nikola Jokic has it in the bag. I mean, he 28 points per game on 60% from the field and 40% from the three, and he leads the league in rebounding and assists.
I mean, the man's averaging a triple double.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen that often.
No, before Jokic, it was only Russell Westbrook and Oscar Robertson, right?
Yeah.
Did Oscar even actually average it for the whole season? I know he had the record, but he probably did average it for the whole season. That's a little bit before my day.
He
but,
did.
61-62. Yeah, so I really think if it wasn't for voter fatigue and just, like, his presence as being not the greatest defender in the world, I think he has it in the bag. I mean, I also, there's a little bit of a conversation here to be had about, I don't know if you remember earlier this year, that whole story broke about how during his Defensive Player of the Year winning season, people went back and looked, and Michael Jordan's home stats were like super cooked. Like, they were 2 times higher than his away stats, and they were like kind of fraudulent. It's nowhere near that level, but like his home assists are absurd.
Yeah.
Like, he'll dish the guy the ball. They'll like dribble around for like 10 seconds, shoot it, make it, he gets an assist. Like,
yeah,
it's not really plays that are leading directly to the scoring. And it's not like the craziest thing ever, but like, I think his home stats are a little inflated.
I'm looking at his like games in the month of April, and it's absurd, his like numbers.
Yeah, no, it's
the
crazy.
Rebounds and the assists are crazy.
I mean, it's absurd.
I mean, one of the greatest big men playmakers, big men rebounders of all time.
He
doesn't even like jump though. I don't. How is he getting these rebounds?
I know, he's so like unathletic. Like, I mean, like, he's just like, he doesn't really play defense or like try that hard, and he puts these numbers up. It's crazy. I really just think the voters want to avoid making him a four-time MVP, because then you really have to have some uncomfortable conversations. Like, yeah. Four-time MVP, where are we looking at him all time? I mean, like, all time as a center, how many does Shaq have? Like, you know, and Shaq obviously is the rings, right? But, like, on an individual level, like, it's time for, I think, an uncomfortable conversation.
I really see the argument that standings matters to a point, and I think we have Wemby, and also, you know who I'd throw out in there in the MVP race? Jaylen Brown, because he did really carry the Celtics.
Yeah, for all
but
of our
local
Celtics
I don't think
Celtics
Wemby
fans.
Or Jaylen Brown are, like, top two in it, for me at least. I think Wemby, you know, he had, like, the push, like, defense matters, but I think the him playing under 30 minutes really hurt him. Like, if he was playing star minutes, I think he would probably have it in the bag, just in terms of, like, counting stats. Like, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks is crazy numbers to average. But I think Jokic has the stats. Shea has the record and the stats. It just depends on what you value more.
Yeah.
If you value winning, if you value points, or if you value, like, assists and rebounds and no defense.
To be honest, I really do see the argument for any of Shea, Wemby, or Jokic to win MVP. I mean, Wemby, the Spurs are only 2 games back from the Thunder. Obviously, the season is over now, so they're confirmed in that 2 seed. But they really were pretty close to this Thunder team. And, I mean, this is one of the better teams of all time, winning-wise. Like, 64 wins is crazy.
Yeah.
We were putting them in, you know, 2016 Warriors win total convos earlier in the season. And the Nuggets are 10 games back from them. So the Nuggets are a full 8 games back from the Spurs in the final rankings. That is a pretty significant.
But the Nuggets did have a very unhealthy season from, like, Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson. They're out for a while. Jokic did have a heavy load to carry, even though Jamal Murray was playing out of his mind this year.
Yeah, first time, well-deservedly All-Star.
I don't know. Yeah.
But it really is an up-in-the-air race.
What you said about Jokic kind of has swayed me, because even though Shea is impacting winning a lot, he has what, like, 4 more points? Yeah, 4 more points, if 4, like 4 or 3. Then Jokic.
Also, you got to look at, like, it is the most valuable player. If you take Shea off this Thunder team, I think they still win, like, minimum, like, 45 games, probably.
Yeah.
You take the Nuggets, you take Jokic off that team, do they make the play-in?
Yeah, they make the
play-in.
They're
like a 10
seed. They're not good.
Like,
they're terrible.
I think Jokic is so important to this Nuggets team. I think he should win MVP, but voter fatigue, you know, all the reasons we've outlisted, doesn't play defense, it's just not going to happen. But I think it's a robbery.
Who do you have for Rookie of the Year?
So this is a really close race. Honestly, it's such a toss-up. So I think most people agree Vijay Edgecombe, Sixers rookie guard, at the 3 spot. Do you agree with that? Like, third and finalist?
Yeah.
But that top 2 is so, I think, as the better player, you have to take Cooper Flagg.
For sure.
He's had absurd. He had a 50 ball, multiple 40 balls. And the thing is, when you look at Cooper Flagg's numbers, you always see most points in a game for a teenager. You know, like, best efficiency in a game for a teenager since LeBron, right? When you look at Con Knuppel's stats, you see, like, best shooting average in the NBA history ever, or he's leading the NBA, he's the 3-point leader for the NBA season this year, 1 3-point away from his teammate LaMelo Ball, who was pretty blatantly trying to take that record in their last game. I mean, he was
insane.
He was shot chucking, really, like, withholding
grifting
the ball from Con. It was, like, crazy. But I think just as an individual season this year, you have to take Con, because he's in those best in the NBA in that regard. Whereas
I don't know,
Flagg, I think Flagg has the better career, and I think he could win an MVP a few years down the line,
leads
right?
him in like counting stats. And if is Rookie of the Year anything but who has more better stats? And like shooting,
it is
kind of matters.
But you also gotta, in my opinion, like Cooper Flagg was the first overall pick. He was talked about as one of the best prospects since Wemby and LeBron, right? Like, people were hyping him up to absurd levels. And Khan went five, but, like, people weren't putting him in those convos, you know? And it was a dubious five, I feel like. A lot of people actually didn't like it. I know if my dad's listening, he said, like, why would you take a white guy from Duke at five? Like, what an awful pick. So that aged pretty well. But I just, in my opinion, I'd give it to Khan, just, like, the slight
edge. I feel like it's like giving Carmelo Anthony the Rookie of the Year over LeBron back in 04. Like, Cooper Flagg has had a better season. Khan is a better, like, role player for his team. Like, he's a really good offensive player, three-point shooter, full package. But Cooper Flagg is averaging more points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. Worst three-point shooting, but...
Let me put it a different way. Like, I feel like, given what he was hyped up to be and where he was taken, Cooper Flagg has met to, like, exceeded expectations. I think Khan Knuppel has severely exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
And that's just why I give the edge to him.
I think that's fair.
Really can't go wrong either way, I think, and it's going to be a really close race. But some love to the other rookies in this class, because the race between these two has really overshadowed all of them. VJ Edgecombe on the Sixers has had a great season. Dylan Harper on the Spurs, I think, has had a very slept-on season just because he spent some time injured earlier. He has made really good strides, I think, off the bench for the Spurs and is a really important piece in this second half of the season. Derek Queen had like a 30-point, 22-rebound game last night, I think, for the Pelicans. And I know his usage has fallen off through the season. We were talking back in, like, November, like, is he the next Jokic? Like,
yeah,
which was
not.
Maybe a little wild in retrospect.
He's not the next
but,
Jokic.
He's had some numbers. Cedric Coward on the Grizzlies. Maxime Reynaud on the Kings. There's a lot of guys from this draft class who are going to be really good NBA players for
a
long
time. Did you drop
time.
Ace Bailey also?
Ace Bailey, yeah. He had a rough start.
He's played
but
better.
He's come around, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else we're forgetting. Do you want to shout out your, what's his name, Kobe
Sanders? Kobe Sanders. He's been playing well. I think he shot like 40% from three, which is not a lot of rookies do that.
What was he, a second round pick?
Yeah, he was really late in the second round. Also, Yannick Kona-Niederhauser. He was playing really well, but he got injured. But yeah, Rookie of the Year. I got Cooper Flagg. You got Khan. We'll see who's right. And next, Defensive Player of the Year, because as Nico Harrison said,
defense wins championships.
It is a two-way game.
I think we both agree about this, right? I mean,
yeah, this is easy.
Victor Wembanyama by like
miles.
Yeah, by so far. So let's say, since Wemby is so obviously the winner, if Wemby just was wiped off the face of the earth, he's gone. The aliens like zapped him up in the beam. Who do you have?
Rudy Gobert?
I see that. I mean,
Really good rim protector.
I think Rudy Gobert's gotten a little voter fatigued. I mean, he's what, like a three-time DPOY? Four-time?
Yeah.
Three-time? I don't know. He's an all-time great defender. So bad, like comically bad offensively. But I think you probably, in my opinion, have to look at like...
Chet?
Yeah, I think...
He's anchoring the best defense in the league.
I'm, like, kind of a D1 Chet hater. Like, I really don't like him or the Thunder. But, like, yeah. They've been, like, kind of missing depth at center. I mean, Hardenstein missed 33 games. Jalen Williams missed 56. Like, he has been, like, the main option at center the whole season, and there's not been a lot of depth behind him. So, and they are a really good defensive team, although, I mean, they kind of, like, they're playing MMA out there on defense.
Yeah,
like, they're,
it's,
like,
it's absurd.
Lou Dort is, like, tackling people and, like, you know, it's like, blatant fouls. But that aside, I think, yeah, I think you got to go with Chet. I think maybe a dark horse could be Scottie Barnes.
He has had a really good defensive season.
And the Raptors really exceeded expectations this year. I mean,
we had them at, like, 10th.
Yeah.
Or, like,
and they ended up, what, in the play-in. Right?
Yeah, he's averaging the fifth seed. 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be a dark horse.
Is he the next Kawhi?
Is he? I don't know if, like, the scoring is quite there.
That's like a trope. I feel like every player is the next
very,
Kawhi.
Very similar personalities, though, I feel like. I don't know.
I think just different sides.
Yeah, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. What's up next? Most improved player?
Yeah, this is like a 50-50 also, I'd say.
There's so many guys this year that improved.
I have it between two guys, personally. I think Nickeil Alexander-Walker should win it. Just because 9 points to 20 points, yeah, even though he's on the Atlanta Hawks, is a crazy point differential. That's nuts.
Fun fact, isn't he Shea's cousin?
Yeah.
They love to mention that whenever the T-Wolves and the Thunder would play last year when he was still on the T-Wolves. It was kind of funny. But absurd point jump from him this season. I think being traded to the Hawks really did him wonders.
And the Hawks, they're a decent team this year.
Yeah, they're the sixth seed.
Yeah, no longer 500 in their last 4,000 games like they were before.
They're like 3 games above 500 in their entire lifetime. But yeah.
You know, it's bounds, step by step.
Yeah. Got to build it up slowly, but I think he probably has it. You also, I mean, Jalen Duren has had a crazy step
That's
up this
a good,
season.
Yeah.
And the Pistons are obviously the one seed in the East. He's been a huge part of that, anchoring their defense too.
Also Ryan Rollins.
Yeah, so
he went from stealing from a Walmart to number one
Target,
option on
Target.
A former championship team with a Hall of Fame coach.
He was
Doc
stealing
Rivers.
Shampoo from Target. About a year ago when he was playing for the Washington Wizards. And now he's, he went from 6.2 points per game to 17. His efficiency went down a little bit, but, like not much, like a percent and a half. Playmaking got better. He's the number one option, or, like, two option on a team that has Giannis on it, right? Like, that's pretty good. He's not going to win it over some of these other guys, but...
You don't think so?
No way he wins it over Walker or Curran, I think. But I think you also have to shout out, also with Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Jalen Johnson. Unfortunately, the defense has kind of fallen off as he takes on a bigger offensive load. Really, actually, the same with a kind of similar guy in Denny Avdia.
That's
both
true.
Very good in transition forwards that have taken a really big offensive, you know, scoring and playmaking leap this season. And their defense, which what they were kind of known for before, has fallen off. But those guys are all shout outs. And my personal dark horse, he's not going to win, but Nemias Keita on the Boston Celtics.
That's a good one.
For any Celtics fans that are listening in the area, I mean, this guy has been crazy this year. I say crazy just compared to what he was. He was getting DNPs, did not play his almost every game last year, barely in the league type of guy. He went from averaging 5 points to 10, averaging 4 rebounds to 8.5, averaging a block and a half this year too, in 25 minutes as well. It's not like he's playing like 40 minutes a game, right?
They lost 3 of their bigs, Porzingis, Al Horford, and Luke Kornet, mm-hmm. and Keita really stepped up.
Yeah,
like he was averaging 13 minutes, 62 games, but he went up to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And better points, rebounds, assists.
Yeah, earlier in the season, before they got Vucevic at the trade deadline as well from the Chicago Bulls, he had to shoulder a little bit more of that load too. Once they got Vucevic, I feel like he could take a little bit of the backup minutes off him, but
he's still starting though.
Yeah,
still
starting over Vucevic, who is a guy who has been in the league for a while now, right? And proven starter on the Bulls, you know, kind of mid center in the league, but still a proven starter. really impressive stuff from him. So I think he also deserves a shout out as a really improved guy this year.
Next award, Sixth Man of the Year. It's a pretty big one. Who do you have, Gavin?
I think this race is kind of so mid this year. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, not as good as it's been before.
In previous years, we've had like runaway favorites, like in Naz Reid.
Or like Norman Powell when he was still a sixth man.
Exactly. Like, this year, I have personally Keldon Johnson of the San Antonio Spurs. His scoring is really low. He's only at 13 points per game, which is pretty far below some of the other favorites. But, excuse me, the rebounding, the playmaking, and he's not the biggest guy. He's kind of small when you see him out on the court, especially on the Spurs, who are a pretty big team. And he goes out there and like gives it his all. He plays with like super high energy off the bench. He really like revitalizes the team when the starters aren't out there. Shoots the 3-point really well, actually, for his role. He shoots 37%. The defense is crazy. On the number 2 seed in the league, like, I think you probably have to give it to him.
Another guy, Jaime Jaquez. He's averaging more points, even though he is on the play-and-bound Miami Heat. Like, he deserves some buzz in the race.
He deserves his flowers, for sure.
Also, Naz Reid again. He won last year, but probably not this year, just because Keldon Johnson, better team. He also went on national TV asking for it.
The Spurs
have been a little shameless. Yeah. Wemby also did go on in the two-way game.
Defense is 50% of the game, and they're like talking to Stephen A. Smith on ESPN and stuff about how they deserve it. But, I mean, you can't complain, you know. I'd do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, do they get a raise if they win sixth man also.
Do they?
I feel like
they probably do. It's probably like,
I mean, he'll probably get a bigger contract.
Incentives in the contract, yeah. And it probably is like, does they increase the amount of salary cap you can spend on somebody thing. So, yeah, I think it goes to Keldon Johnson. But
another race that's very tight, Coach of the Year.
Yeah. So, who do you have winning that, Marcus?
I don't know. I think we've decided upon three guys, and I don't really know amongst the three. JB Bickerstaff, Joe Mazzulla of the Celtics, JB is of the Pistons, and Mitch Johnson from the Spurs. I feel like JB, in my opinion, just because, you know, last year you had the Pistons were the worst team of all time, like most games lost consecutively. They went up to the sixth seed, now they're the first seed, even though it's a wide open East, very unexpected. Solid team, but, like, not that good of a team compared to, like, the Knicks, the Cavs. And I think with Joe Mazzulla, we were saying, and I was really standing on this for a while, now I've been proven very wrong, that the Celtics were going to be tanking, they were going to get a top pick, and they were going to have a really good year next year, but this year would be a tank year. They're the second seed. And for much of the season, they were without Tatum. We thought they had no depth at the center position or the forward position. But Joe Mazzulla and his three-point system really served the team well this year. And I think you had a good case for Mitch Johnson. I didn't really see it as much, but
yeah, so Mitch Johnson of the San Antonio Spurs took over, I want to say, like midway through last season. All-time great Spurs coach, Greg Popovich, top three all-time head coach, in my opinion. I think he had a stroke or he had a medical issue of sorts and was forced to take leave midway through the season. Mitch Johnson took over kind of as his protege in just such a stacked top of the bracket in the West with the Nuggets and the Thunder and the Lakers. And he's navigated them to the 2 seed. He's navigated them to one of the best like defensive teams in the league. And I know there's the argument that like they were kind of gifted like so many great lottery picks in
Wemby,
and they were gifted De'Aaron Fox from the Kings for cheap and Steph Castle in the lottery, and and Dylan Harper, but like, it is so impressive to me that in his, and he's a young guy, like you look at some of these other guys, they're a little bit on the older side. Mitch Johnson is pretty young. This is his first time ever being a head coach. First full season, I think. He's not winning the odds, but like, I think he should be talked about. I think he really, like, it's so impressive what he's done with the Spurs team.
Also another guy, Mark Degnan of the Thunder. He won it last year, but I think
because like they met expectations and voter fatigue. I also want to shout out to Charles Lee of the Hornets. I feel like the Hornets, like, I mean, we all thought they were going to be bad, right? Like,
it's truly
so bad,
terrible.
And they've snuck into the 9 seed, right? Or
yeah. They had like a crazy run where they were playing as well as the Thunder.
There was like a month where we were like, are the Hornets the best team in the league? But they're in the 9-10 play-in game with the Heat now. Obviously, you know, top two rookie in Con Knuppel. LaMelo Ball over there doing whatever LaMelo Ball does. Brandon
terrorizing Charlotte in the streets.
With his driving.
With his tank.
If, for those who don't know, like,
fully with it, also fully lucid doing that stuff.
Yeah, like he's
unlike some other
several accidents athletes in his vehicle recently, just because I think he doesn't know how to drive really. And you can spot him in the streets of Charlotte because he drives the most like absurd like
Humvees, yeah, like tanks,
like it's crazy. So maybe avoid driving in Charlotte if they have a home game. Didn't he run over like someone's like leg?
Yeah, and
like,
he like got into
a
crazy
a
car accident.
Like,
also,
it really is crazy. But I mean, Brandon Miller also on the Hornets has had a really slept on season, I think, and so I think we probably got to credit Charles Lee over there for some of that. And I know you brought him up earlier, but Joe Mazzulla, I mean, like we said, the Celtics. He's a psychopath. Like, he's Dan Hurley of UConn. He's the NBA version of that. Like, he's
he does have that.
A crazy guy for basketball.
With awards out of the way, the playoffs begin Saturday and Sunday, but we have the play-in Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah. We have, I want to say it's the Suns-Blazers game on tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow night.
Yeah, and the Heat Hornets.
The Heat Hornets, yeah. So,
and then Wednesday is the Magic Sixers.
Yeah, so the Heat Hornets game is a 9-10 game, so the loser of that game is out. They're completely out of the playoffs. The winner goes on to play the winner of Sixers.
The loser of Sixers.
The winner of Hornets Heat goes on to play of Sixers Magic. The Blazers Suns game is for the 7th seed, so winner makes the play in, loser plays winner of Clippers Warriors.
Yes.
And then Wednesday is Clippers Warriors and Sixers Magic. So who do you have making it through?
I don't know. I feel like, well, first we have to mourn the loss of the play in trio from the East. Yeah,
it's
Bulls,
crazy.
Heat, Hawks, they all went in different directions. It's really sad, honestly.
Yeah, Bulls.
They had a
Bulls
really good
it.
Run together, also.
You know that scene in Fast and Furious where like they're on the highway and it like splits into two and they like they separate with like the sad music playing in the background. Because Bulls just fully in the lottery didn't make it. Heat in the 10 seed and the Hawks are out of the play-in. They're fully in the playoffs. So the trio is broken up. It's sad.
So for Heat Hornets, I'm not sure. Because, you know, the Heat do have second all-time highest scorer, Bam Adebayo. So, that's one thing to give them. And he's their second option. So, that tells you how great they are. I'm being a little facetious here. They are the 10th seed. I feel like it could really a toss-up for me there. Because the lights could be too bright for the Hornets. Like, LaMelo Ball, I don't know if I'd trust him in a winner-go-home scenario. And the Heat have been proven to win. They've been to the finals twice in the past, like, 5 years. So I think I'd take the Heat in that.
Well, I guess to your point about going to the finals twice in the last few years, those were the Jimmy Butler Heat years.
That is true.
And we know about, you know, playoff Jimmy, like, I don't really know if we're going to get playoff Bam like we did with playoff Jimmy. I personally
he scored 83 points
against the Wizards, though. I mean, I don't know, but
Wilt, Bam, Kobe. That's all I have to say. I got the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that one's a toss-up. I agree with that. And then winner of that plays winner or loser of Sixers Magic. I'm biased. I have the Sixers.
I also second that.
But for those who don't know, center Joel Embiid was diagnosed with appendicitis the other day, which I mean, he'd been dealing with, you know, pain in his like kind of midsection for a few weeks now. He'd been missing like games, and they finally discovered it's appendicitis. I think he had his I don't know what it's called, appendectomy,
yeah,
on Thursday, where they removed
his
appendix.
Poor Joe, man.
Cerebral
palsy.
No,
his knees, Bell's palsy.
Not cerebral.
His knees are like cooked roast beef.
He had several like orbital fractures in the playoffs.
He had that like eye twitch a couple years ago, and everyone's like, "What are they doing to Joel, man?
He
like,
really
what's going on?"
Cannot catch up. And like, this one is not his fault. You can't control getting appendicitis, and it's not like it's like a fake thing where it's like, "Oh, his knee hurts, he can't play." Like, you can die from like not getting your it can like burst.
It's really serious.
Like, and the orbital fractures, like, that's like not his fault. He can't control like getting an elbow to the face that breaks the bone. I mean, the Bell's palsy, the dude was playing against the Knicks a few years ago with half his face, like, drooping down, paralyzed. Like, it's
absurd.
He really can't catch a break. But word from the doctors is he could, if we make it out of the play-in, return, like, maybe around game four of a series against, depending on how they make it out of the play-in, like, Celtics or Pistons.
Celtics-Sixers would be an elite first round.
I mean, if he doesn't come back till game four, we might be down like 0-3.
The rivalry, though.
Yeah, I mean,
rivalry's sake.
Is it much of a rivalry if you haven't beat them in the last
that's
two
fair.
Decades?
That's fair.
But yeah, so
you have Sixers. I would agree.
Sixers.
I mean, PB no J.
Yeah, Paolo Banchero.
There's
no
J.
The
Magic have
too.
Been really disappointing this year.
Franz Wagner
giving up
been
the whole future
hurt.
Of the franchise for Desmond Bane.
Although I would say Desmond Bane has been good this year. Like, I really don't think this is on him as much. Franz has been hurt. Their coach is not. They're probably going to part ways with their coach this offseason. And it's just they're shooting horribly too. Like,
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but I mean, we were talking about the Magic as like a top four team earlier, like in the past offseason.
Yeah, we were talking some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Hawks third seed, Magic fourth seed.
Yeah, so I guess funny how that ended up, but it's they're not a good team. They're not making it out of, if they make it out of the play-in, they're not making it out of the first round, I don't think.
So then who do you have between Heat, Magic? Battle for Florida.
I probably take the Heat, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's the point of the play-in, but it's really like 50-50 for that. But so Joel Embiid lost his appendix.
Mm-hmm.
I think this PSA, I mean, the appendix is a vestigial organ, but speaking of organ,
good,
we have
okay,
a quick
there,
organ
Marcus.
Donor PSA. Signing up to be an organ donor is one of the most generous things you can do, especially when you consider that a single organ donor can potentially save 8 lives. That's 8 people who won't have to spend agonizing months or years on the transplant waiting list, who will get a second chance all because you agreed to donate some parts of your body you won't be able to take with you anyway. To become an organ donor, register through your state agency. Locate your state registry on the organ donor website at organdonor.gov. Designate your choice to be an organ donor on your driver's license. If you do not have a driver's license, print a donor card and carry it with you. This provides your legal consent to donate organs, eyes, and tissues for transplants. Fill out your advanced directives, will, and living will. Include your organ donation. These legal documents speak for you when you are not able to speak for yourself. This has been a public service announcement from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Can we donate our knees to Kawhi and Embiid, you know?
Donate an appendix to Embiid?
yeah.
So
back to the play-in. Right?
Now we have the West.
Well, oh yeah, sorry, the West. Yeah, my bad.
And this is a pretty good play-in, honestly. I think some unexpected
teams.
It's
pretty up in the air.
Big names. So in the 9-10, they'll be playing Wednesday. That's the Warriors and the Clippers. The Warriors have had like crazy injury ravage season.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
their whole roster has been cooked.
Like,
Pat Spencer
ACL.
Is like playing minutes for
them.
Hey,
shout out Pat Spencer though. He's a fun fact. He's like was the GOAT of like lacrosse like ever. He was, I think, like, so I've been told, the greatest like college lacrosse player of all time. And he kind of just up and decided, like, hey, I want to play basketball professionally, moved to Germany, played in the German league for a while, and got a shot on the Warriors. So
pretty
kinda,
baller.
Yeah, I mean, great story out of him. And his brother, Cam, I think, is on the Grizzlies, too.
Yeah, and he had a great
season.
So
just fun story from those guys, but they're devastated.
I mean, Moses Moody. That was really scary.
Oh, that the knee thing
a few
weeks ago.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
That was really bad.
And they got Tingus Pingus, who allegedly doesn't have POTS.
Yeah, apparently.
So I don't know what he has at that point.
Like, everyone from the Hawks said he had POTS, and then he gets traded to the Warriors, and all of a sudden Steve Kerr says he doesn't, and he has something else. So we don't really know what he has, but whatever it is, he's not playing very much. Definitely not playing in the playoffs, right?
Also, they have Seth Curry playing for them, which I did not realize he was like getting rotational minutes.
Shout out Sixers Seth Curry, though.
That is
back
good.
In like
yeah.
2020, like great player. But yeah, that is crazy. I mean, he in 2026, he should not be like a piece on your team. That's almost like having Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry taking up bench spots on your team. I mean, that would be absurd to do in the year 2026, right? No self-respecting GM would ever do that, right, Marcus?
I think Crumble Cookie has something to say about that. Daryl Morey, if you guys listen to our NBA nickname bracket, you would know the lore behind
that.
If you know, you know. But they do have Steph Curry now on the Warriors. But the Clippers, as I said earlier, generational season.
Riding a hot streak. Right
riding
now.
A hot streak. They did blow up their whole team, and I thought it was over. I was like, what are we doing? Like, no, why are we getting rid of James Harden and Zubac? We were playing so well, but Darius Garland, he's really turned it around for the Clippers. I mean, they were selling really low on Darius, and right now for the Clippers, he's basically averaging what he averaged last season when he was an all-star. He's averaging 19.9, 47% from the field, 43% from three, and 6 assists and a steal. He's been much better. The ankle issue dissolved. Kawhi, he's having the best season of his career. I mean, God, like,
First team All-NBA for sure.
100%. He's averaging career high 27.9, 50 from the field, 38 from three, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Great defender still. I got the Clippers all the way.
Yeah, I feel like it's a toss up for that 9-10 game, but
I don't know. They won last night and Kawhi wasn't playing.
Who'd they play?
The Warriors. Like, they beat the Warriors last night.
I mean,
playoff Kawhi, come on.
It's the NBA.
We've never seen a play in
Kawhi. You never know what can happen on any
given night.
Yeah,
that's
true. But, I probably do give the edge to the Clippers, honestly. I'm not sure how that goes in the next round of the play-in, though, because they have to play the loser of Blazers Suns.
Yeah, I'm scared for that. I think it might be over.
Those are two teams who are kind of... The Suns had a rough patch in the middle of the season because Dylan Brooks was out with injury, and then he missed a few games with a suspension. I forget what that was about, but Dylan Brooks is back. I mean, we talked about this last week. He's like kind of an elite ceiling raiser.
Yeah,
like,
and he's low-key been really good this year.
Yeah, although I did see KD, like, he was talking some trash to KD because he's Dylan Brooks. He's always talking trash, and he got, like, his ankles broken, dude. It was really bad. But Dylan Brooks, comeback. D-Book. Who's their center right now? Mark Williams?
Mark Williams, yeah.
I feel like there's some. Kamon Malawak, they got that rookie center who's pretty good defensively.
Grayson Allen. And Jalen Green.
I forgot about Jalen Green. He's been doing all right. He missed a lot of the early season with injury. But the Suns are, I feel like, kind of a scary team to run into in the play-in. I personally have the Blazers taking the 7th seed over them. But I think this young Blazers team is I think they have potential.
Will Denny get the same whistle?
The playoff whistle and the regular season whistle are really harder.
Yeah.
And Denny,
it's their first time in the playoffs also.
Yeah.
Or in a postseason scenario.
Unfortunately, like, Denny is a little bit of a free throw merchant. Like he does shoot like 13 free throws a game or something like that, while averaging like 25 points. So like kind of half of his points do come from free throws, which is a little like iffy. But Donovan Clingan,
he's a demon.
Elite. Well, not, I think he's going to be in conversations pretty soon.
Averaging a double-double.
Yeah. And this is his sophomore year, I think.
Yeah. Tumani Kamara.
Yeah.
Shaden Kari Sharp. Eason.
Drew Holiday, honestly. He's kind of unk, but he's been having an all right season. Dame is still out, obviously. He'll be back next year.
Drew's been having, like, a really 16 points, 45, 37 from three.
Drew has been, like, for sure Hall of Famer. In my opinion, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Cornerstone two teams. Defensive, like,
beast.
Like, great in the NBA. So, just, like, real, like, defensive anchor for the team there. And, like, veteran leadership.
I'd say I got the Suns beating the Blazers and then Clippers beating the Blazers.
I have Blazers beating the Suns and Clippers beating the Suns.
Yeah. I just really don't want the Clippers to become a lottery team and then somehow, like, the Mavericks, like, crazy pull happens and OKC gets the first overall pick. Like, that's just, like, my nightmare.
Well, I guess maybe we should bring this up, that there is, like, it's a little iffy, this play-in situation where some teams, depending on whether or not you do or don't own your pick, have, like, no incentive to win in the play-in.
Yeah.
Like, say you're the Sixers and the doctors tell you Joel Embiid will not be back this playoff, right? And then you look at, you either end up playing the Pistons with Cade back or the Celtics with Jason Tatum back, and you're like, do we think we can win any of those series? No. Do we maybe just flounder out of the play-in and at least try and keep our pick because it's top four protected? Like, hope for some last year Mavericks, like, wizardry to keep our pick. Like, there's a little bit of an argument there, but I personally am not a fan of it, but some teams, like, depending on it. Like, also, if you're the Heat, like, you're not winning anything this year.
Nah.
Do you just lose in that, you know, 9-10 game and be done with it and improve your standing for, especially in a draft of this caliber? But I think that's really, hopefully, a non-factor, at least. I hope every team gives it their all. I'm personally a fan of the play-in. I don't know about you. Mr. Tourneyman Adam Silver has cooked up a few tournaments for the league, but I really do like the play-in.
I think it's good. It's, like, more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, because in a best-of-seven series, like, you know, like, one game doesn't matter quite as much. Like, win or go home is just the most exciting format in sports,
for sure.
Right? And so I really like getting some of that excitement in basketball. And, I mean, there's been some pretty nice play-in performances over the years.
Yeah, I think the one issue with the play-in that I've seen, like, a couple years ago, Zion got injured in the play-in, or you saw a couple years ago also, Jimmy got injured in the play-in. Like, guys could just get injured, and then the playoffs kind of over for the team.
Yeah, and I guess kind of like I was talking about earlier, these games I also don't think count for stats. I don't think play-in numbers
count. Oh, in playoff
stats? Because I don't know if you remember, like, 2 years ago when Nico Batum was on the Sixers, Clippers legend Nico Batum, Sixers as well, he dropped, like, 30 points or something against the Heat in a play-in game, like, carried the Sixers.
Oh, you know what? I remember that, actually.
And
yeah.
I think the stats just, like, didn't count from that game.
And that was the year to play the Knicks, right?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that year. That was rough. But Could we see a Knicks-Sixers reunion in the... Does the path line up for that? Because they're the
Yeah,
because
if they beat the Celtics, then Knicks-Sixers conference semis. Ooh, it's going to be a great playoffs. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll do our like playoff brackets and just recap the first game.
Well, we'll
game.
Have missed like one game on Sunday, yeah.
And we'll do like a recap. But...
And, I mean, we were talking. This is a really up-in-the-air playoffs.
I don't feel good about any team, really. Like, what? The Celtics are, like, not maybe a dark horse, not even a, I don't know what to call the Celtics at this point. The Pistons, Cade's back, OKC,
repeat,
reigning
like,
champ,
you know, like
Nuggets, always a contender when you have the greatest player in the world.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
Spurs.
They're young, but, you know, they have potential, like, it's really
the Clippers?
I'm
My bad.
No, I mean,
there's
the
what my
way,
heart,
the
there's what my heart
the
wants, and there's what my brain says.
Heart says Sixers are winning it all. You know, brain says they're not making it out of the first round.
Also,
but.
The Knicks.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, the Knicks. Like, who knows what'll happen? Like last year, they somehow beat the Celtics, and they were buns all year against the Celtics.
I mean, dude, last year though, talk about like an exciting playoff. Like last year was one of the best ones we've had in years. I think that Pacers run, and we've said this before, but like just. Amazing, like crazy playoff basketball. The Hallie, like, I mean, Hallie was getting like, you know, devil accusations. He were like, he's like,
sacrificing Siakam,
like goats in the parking lot of the stadium before the game. Like,
the video where like his eyes were like all white when he was praying.
Yeah, like, and some of those like buzzer beaters, especially
absurd.
The one in the garden against the Knicks, dude, is
oh, don't
all
talk
time,
about
bro.
That.
Hit the Reggie Miller choke after, too.
Oh,
like.
God. That truly was like one of the worst nights of my life. Like, I remember I saw that, and I think my dad went to sleep, and I just started screaming out of, like.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was downstairs.
And my dog started, like, barking at me.
I was
he was
downstairs
about to,
watching
like,
it in my living room, and I yelled so loud when that happened that my mom came down. And like yelled at me because she thought someone was like breaking into the house. So sorry if you're listening, Mom. I apologize for that. But all-time great playoff run last year from them. Obviously the Game 7 Hallie injury. But
I feel like the end of the season kind of really was barely got me to the end. Like
we had,
I kind of fell off on watching some games.
I mean,
but.
There were some lineups in some of these games I was looking at where
like, just like
there was not
absurd.
A single name I knew. The Utah Jazz had two guys off the bench both drop triple doubles, and I had genuinely not heard of either of them like at all before. It was crazy.
March and April basketball.
The Grizzlies were running lineups consisting entirely of 10-day contracts and two-way contracts. Like not a single
really?
Full contract on the starting roster. Like there was some crazy stuff. Obviously, I mean, and then like to end it out with the injuries too, like Luka and stuff that,
But what a great 25-26 season. We're excited for the playoffs to start this week. Thank you all for listening. And this has been WMFO Medford. This is Courtside. We are live every Monday at noon. We hope to see you all next week.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And this has been 91.5 WMFO in Medford. And we'll, see you guys next week.